Mírame los ojos cuando digas mi nombre. No me confrontes si no eres un hombre. Tato, yeah. Represento mi Borinquen, wow. No te me pongas bravo, caerás al fin y al cabo. Soy más bravo como el gallo borinqueño haciendo batalla, gritando por la noche como el coqui que no se calla. Corro por el mundo, mi corazón lleno de candela. Entro mis batallas cargando mi bandera. Puertorriqueña, misteriosa como las aguas azules, fuerte como las montañas que cortan por las nubes. Pues manos pa' arriba,
hands up high.
Manos pa' arriba,
touch the sky.
Soy de Puerto Rico, como ella no es más rica. Duro como la roca, porque si yo soy boricua.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes podcast here on the main feed. This is a shorter one because we're in Vegas and there's a lot to do today, a lot of places to go, people to see, and interviews to try and grab. I'm joined as always by Sondra. Hi Sondra, how are you?
Hi Kenny, I'm doing pretty well. It's always fun to be podcasting live and in person with you.
And at 9:25 in the morning with a vodka.
Yep, we are definitely drinking vodka at 9:25 in the morning. For me, it feels like, what, 12? So it feels like noon. This could be just like a noon lunch, you know, drink.
Sure.
For you, it's basically evening already. It's totally fine.
Well, so I crashed at like 6 p.m. last night. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. Went and got breakfast at 5.
You know, it's dire when I tried to wake you up for Drag Race. I tried.
Yep.
Poked you. I said, do you want to wake up for Drag Race? And you gave me a look like you will die in a fire if you continue talking to me right now. So I let you sleep and that was good.
I flew yesterday from Manchester to Vegas. I was in economy, and usually I try and save enough money to do premium economy, because what happened yesterday was there was a stag do on the flight to Vegas, and they drank so much vodka, there was no vodka left after 2 hours of the flight.
Are you serious?
Serious.
That's why it's best to take your own vodka on the flight.
Or, like I've said before, premium economy is not an absolutely useless expense, and I'm not looking at you, Steve Gunn. So,
Shade.
Anyway, well, we'll talk about shade in a little bit, Mr. Rhodes, Mr. Runnels.
Oh, yeah, shade, yeah, yeah.
So basically, we have a shorter podcast today because we have stuff to, stuff to discuss. We have stuff to do and go to and try and get interviews. We're basically going to be around Caesars, and there's like, there might be interviews, there might not be. We're going to try and get some, and it's a whole thing. And then there's the weigh-in later on today, the press conference and the weigh-in and all that jazz. We need to be there for that, see what's going on. But we decided to just take your questions. How was your trip here to Las Vegas, Nevada?
I mean, my trip here was okay. My aunt died yesterday morning, and I got that news when I was like on the plane in Colorado. So that was interesting. But overall, it was a fine trip. I woke up way too late trying to get to the airport in Grand Rapids. And thankfully, the airport is like 6 minutes down the road from me, because I woke up about an hour before I was supposed to board. Like, I woke up an hour before I was supposed to board and hadn't finished packing yet. But I made it, even though the security line in Grand Rapids was like longer than I'd ever seen it. And I was really nervous. But it ended up being okay. I made my connection in Colorado, even though it was tight. And then I hung out at the airport for like 3 hours waiting for you. So
yeah, and I, we arrived on time. My bag was a little bit late, but we were there. We should start off, I guess, by saying this was kind of known because it was out in a tweet yesterday. But AEW signed Dean Malenko.
Oh, have they?
As one of their producers and coaches. And in Malenko's press release, he says, "It's not often you get an opportunity late in your career to be a part of building something from the ground floor. The freedom to be able to contribute uninhibited will only lead itself to foster creativity and produce an outstanding product. I'm excited about what the future holds for AEW, and I can't wait to be a part of the journey." Shade, Sondra.
Even shade.
More shade being thrown.
There's so much shade being thrown this weekend. Wow. Wow.
And it's only Friday morning.
I know, right? Imagine what we're going to have by Sunday.
So, speaking of Sunday, you can go to fight.tv, sign up for all the StarCast shows. The deal, I wouldn't plug this if I thought it was rubbish, but like, genuinely, you can get all the shows. So if you sign up today, you even get access to all last night's shows. There was a Remembering Owen Hart panel with JR and Mark Henry and Jerry Waller and a couple other people. But you can sign up, you can get all 29 stage shows for $59.99, which is basically less than $2 a show. And included in that, you get, of course, Inside the Ropes with Dustin Rhodes on Sunday, the day after one of the, if not the biggest match of his career. There's loads of stuff, so I think it's worth picking up. So you can go to fight.tv, or no, is it StarCast? Of course, I don't even know the link.
I'm sure you can go to fight.tv and find it, right? You should be able to search it. Is it StarCast on fight.tv?
StarCast on fight.com, I think is the address.
We're trying this right now.
StarCast on fight.com will take you to where you need to go. 4-day pass, $59.99. You know, there's already a chat room open. Real Sting says, lol, Sting sucks. And Disco Malenko says, disco, disco. It's all happening.
I mean, the chat room is clearly just alive and well.
Yep. So, but also we would urge you to sign up to our Patreon service, patreon.com/insidetheropes. Truth be told, guys, we have lost a fair amount of subscribers in the last couple of months. I think largely due to the WWE product. But what I would say is if you like our podcast and like what we do, the support that you guys give allows us to be able to keep doing this. So, you know, the Patreon money really does go to staff costs and all that kind of stuff. It is not a vanity project in any way, shape, or form. So if you're on the fence, or even you're like, ah, well, they don't need my $3 a month or whatever, like, it would be nice if you have it and you want to give it to us as a support, it would be really helpful to us. So,
like, genuinely, that's the only way Inside the Ropes really gets to continue, is through your support, because we don't have advertisers at this point. We don't have, like, a whole bunch of other, like, money channels coming in. We're definitely not swimming in it. So, thank you to everyone who, like, has continued to support us, even though WWE is pish. And I'm actually looking forward to AEW kind of shaking things up a little bit. I'm excited to review Double or Nothing on Patreon later this week. But there's, I don't know, we're working on stuff.
We are. So, we should just get into your questions, because that's what it's all about. So we asked you on Twitter and Facebook, what do you want to know? What do you want to talk about? Past or present wrestling, this weekend, whatever. So here are some of the questions that we have. I'm just going to load up the Twitter ones first. Tron wants to know, will there be a surprise ex-WWE wrestler turning up at Double or Nothing? Percent chance of CM Punk being there. So two questions. I'll answer the percent one because you hate percentages. I'd say there's about a 15% chance of CM Punk at this show. But to be fair, like, before, I don't think it was in the double digits of him turning up somewhere, so it's better than it was. But do you think there'll be a surprise ex-WWE wrestler turning up at Double or Nothing? Yes or no? And if so, who do you think it could be?
It's one of those things where I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'll be surprised because there's no one that I expect. There's no one that I can, like, put my finger on and say, like, oh, this person has been a free agent who's floating around and seems like they could definitely, definitely be there, right? So is there a chance? Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance. Do I know who it would be other than maybe CM Punk? No. Like, is there anyone else that comes to mind for you?
Dean Ambrose, John Moxley.
Oh, Dean Ambrose, yeah.
Or John Moxley. I need to get into the sink of calling him John Moxley.
Yeah, John Moxley, John Moxley, because that is his name now. Yeah, I guess he is the one that he, because his no compete and stuff would be,
it's all done,
by now. So yeah, I guess there's a decent chance he shows up. If that's what he wants to
he's
do.
He's doing a movie apparently, but some people think are the movie dates a front, because, you know,
because everything's a work in wrestling. That's the exciting thing, though, is like I don't know. Like, I just don't have any idea.
Not knowing is good. But also, there was a Before the Bell special on ITV. I think it was ITV's YouTube channel. Or ITV Wrestling's YouTube channel. If you go on there, Jack Whitehall, really weird that he's making announcements, but it's fun. He said that they have announced how the first AEW champion is going to be crowned.
And how's that?
It's going to be the winner of the Casino Battle Royale taking on the winner of Omega and Jericho.
Really?
So now not only does the Battle Royal and the buy-in show mean more, but also it adds a stake to Omega and Jericho. So
that's interesting. So what is Adam Page doing now?
He says he's off the show because Pac injured his knee.
Because I did see a picture of him with, like, ice on his knee or something like that. So he says he's off of the show. That's interesting. And I'm just really, that's one of the angles that I'm most curious about going into Double or Nothing, is like what happens with Hangman Page, because he's been one of my faves, and I mean, him not being on the show, he's going to be there, but I'm just curious what he's going to do now.
Yeah, and I mean he could maybe be the surprise entrant in the Casino Battle Royale and come in and win it.
That would make sense.
I would be surprised if he's not on the show whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
but... you know, they've got time to fill now because they've not got a match with Hangman Page. He could just come out on the show and maybe somebody comes out as an open challenge. But
there are so many possibilities. And the thing is, like, I don't even want to fantasy book it in my head, because I think all of the possibilities that they have are interesting enough. And I kind of just want to enjoy the journey and go on the ride.
Leave it B22 on Twitter wants to know, is Kofi having a good championship reign? Is he champion material? Who do you want to take the belt off of him? So just... I guess an amalgamation of those three questions.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are always going to disagree on this because I know you haven't seen Kofi Kingston as, you know, your favorite champion and you want the belt off of him. I like Kofi Kingston as champion. I think he is a good champion. I kind of enjoy the fact that there is a WWE champion who's also part of a well-known faction. And I like the fact that Kofi Kingston hasn't really, like, changed his character that much as champion. Does it make it feel mid-card? A little bit, maybe. But I think that he's been, like, for Kofi Kingston to be part of the atrocious wild-card rule that I want to throw in the fire and burn to death, but for him to be one of the stars that keeps showing up on Raw and being a part of main event things, I think they're doing all the right things with Kofi Kingston, and he's more than capable of pulling off the matches. So I really like him as champion. His first challenger, Dolph Ziggler, would not have been my choice, shockingly enough, to anyone listening to this. I am not that thrilled about Dolph Ziggler challenging Kofi Kingston. I thought it was 2011 and it was the Intercontinental belt for a minute. But my issue more is it's with Dolph, not with Kofi. I like his championship reign and I kind of want it to continue for a while.
I think he's a great Intercontinental champion. That's the problem. He's not a world champion. He's not, like, the ratings are going down anyway, but The goal of WWE right now has to be to get viewers back. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody's coming back because Kofi Kingston is a WWE champion. Now, had he won it and then, like, there had been more people talking, but I'd argue nobody's really talking about him. Nobody's really, like, there are more people talking about the 24/7 title than Kofi Kingston's a world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Which, look, I'm still glad they gave the belt to him, but I don't think it's working. I think he's fine. But yeah, it's just not working for me. Uh-oh. And now he's in a feud with Dolph Ziggler.
Ugh. Throw him to the sun. I'm so annoyed. Like, of all the people, is this basically just because, like, Kevin Owens has come out and said that he doesn't want to do the Saudi Arabia show, right? And so they're not going to continue Kofi mm-hmm. versus Kevin Owens for the Saudi Arabia show. So they have to find someone who's willing to go. And so apparently they brought Dolph Ziggler out of wherever he's been, obscurity, and that was where I preferred that he stayed. And so Dolph Ziggler's just attacking Kofi Kingston. And the thing is, I know we weren't supposed to be talking about Dolph Ziggler, but we're talking about him now. When he came back on SmackDown, what did he do, Kenny? Did he change his character? Did he reinvent himself? Did he do something we hadn't seen before? Did he seem like a new Dolph Ziggler? No, he seemed like the same old whiny-ass Dolph Ziggler who's always like, I need to fight for the spotlight because I'm the very best. Go fuck off. No, just no. I don't want you to be around. The thing is, like, that sort of speech works once or twice. That sort of speech for 5 years in a row does not work for me. Like, you need to do something else. He's a very good performer. It was a well-delivered promo. If I had just started watching wrestling this week and had never seen Dolph Ziggler before, I think I would be super into this. However, I have so many years built up of Dolph Ziggler doing the exact same thing and being the best and putting on the best show that I just can't with him anymore, and I need something different.
Mel wants to know, what are you most looking forward to this weekend? Well, Mel just wants me to say seeing her, right?
Obviously.
Because Mel and the Bex are who have always said, come to California. And I'm like, well, if there's a show on, I'll come, but otherwise. And now that we're in Vegas, they're coming. So, you know, if we're not seen again, Mel Renette on Twitter is where to find us. Mm-hmm. That's where my body will be. She's not into me that way. Because she's not into me because we both like men. So what I'm most looking forward to, I'm actually most looking forward to Cody versus Dustin. That is my, I know both of them, I've worked with both of them, I know how much they both want it, and yeah, that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most. What about you?
I think I'm most looking forward to that and also the Dustin Rhodes show that you're doing. Like, I'm really
I should have said that first.
You probably should have said that first. I mean, Inside the Ropes is hosting a show with Dustin Rhodes on Sunday. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that and, like, getting to hear his story, because, like, I didn't get to really see anything from the Dustin Rhodes tour that you did in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never actually really gotten to hear him in long form interview format with you. And so I think that's what I'm looking forward to most.
You will get to hear him do the Tourette's impression live.
I'm so excited about this.
Okay, let's go to Facebook questions now. Oh, no. So we'll leave the last Twitter one there was, sorry. It was about the 24/7 title, and it was a question from Anthony Tallarido. He wants to know: Do you think that the WWE 24/7 title will eventually be intergender? We'd love to see Carmella beat R-Truth for the title. So I'm going to ask you that, as well as, what do you think the 24/7 title, like, started this week? It started with Mick Foley should never agree to announce belts.
Because it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. Because, yeah, I had forgotten that Mick Foley was the one to also unveil the Universal Championship that got universally booed because it was red and looked like a fruit roll-up. Poor Mick Foley. Poor Mick Foley. I know on Twitter he was very hard on himself for his promo, and it might not have been the greatest, but he didn't really have a winning battle to fight with the way that belt looks. However, I love the 24/7 belt. It is my favorite thing. It has revitalized my interest in WWE. It is the reason I didn't read SmackDown spoilers when I was at work, because I wanted to know what I didn't want to know if someone pinned R-Truth for the belt on SmackDown, right? I have been enjoying following Drake Maverick as he searches for R-Truth across Twitter, putting out videos at 1 a.m. and you know, like asking people at hotels and airports if they've seen Ron the Truth Killings because he's looking for him. R-Truth's videos in his car where he has the belt, seat belted in his car because he's taking such good care of it, and he gives it a drink of water and it's like, I made it home with my belt. I love everything about this. I think it's fantastic. I think it should 100% be intergender. When Mick Foley introduced the belt, he said this is open to all superstars, right?
And the hardcore title back in the day, look, I know that your dream is intergender wrestling, but what the hardcore belt used to do was do little bits and pieces of that for example, Molly Holly at one point was the hardcore champion, and she was running down a hall with the belt, and then all of a sudden a door whacked in her face, and it was a guy who then got the pinfall. So there's ways to do things.
Well, that's the thing, is that, yes, my dream is intergender wrestling. Yes, I understand that in WWE that is never going to be the norm because of all sorts of outside factors, right? But with a hardcore championship, you don't have to have a proper wrestling match. Like, we've already seen 3 hardcore champions, right? Because Titus O'Neil picked up the belt from the middle of the ring, and then Robert Roode pinned Titus O'Neil, and then Robert Roode ran around backstage for a little while, and then R-Truth, you know, cleverly hid Robert Roode in the trunk of his car and then pinned Robert Roode afterwards, and now R-Truth is the champion. R-Truth is a perfect 24/7 champion. I keep wanting to say hardcore champion. That's not what it is. But yeah, I want Carmella to pin R-Truth for the belt so badly. I thought we might be getting it on SmackDown when all of the shenanigans happened during Carmella versus Mandy Rose, but then R-Truth and Carmella just kind of ran out. I think that would be brilliant. Or if Carmella gets the belt somehow and then R-Truth gets to pin Carmella for it, then he can finally pin Carmella, Kelly and Kenny, and get.
Don't you dare call me Kelly. Kelly, here in this. I've flown you to Las Vegas and you call me that cunt's name.
Oh, it was a slip of the tongue, and that was exactly the reaction I would hope for. But I would love for R-Truth to finally pin Carmella for, you know, a title, and then get a title opportunity or whatever, pay off that whole pin Carmella storyline, right? That got them together in the first place. I think there are so many opportunities for this to be intergender and to have more fun shenanigans with it. That's exactly what I want, because if it's open to every superstar, then it should be open to every superstar. I know Paige was tweeting about it on the night, asking if it was open to managers too. I want all the shenanigans in the world from this. I want all of them.
Well, because I had a little tweet exchange with Matt Hardy on Twitter the other day, because he was talking about it, and it was the WWE.com stuff that he was doing, he was able to use his creativity again and do some different stuff. So,
well, that's what I love about it, is it's giving people who don't normally get on TV, right? Who was in that initial scramble? It was Titus O'Neil, EC3,
Robert Roode. Hawkins, was he not?
He might have been, yeah. But it's people that we don't normally get to see on TV, and it gives them a chance to do a fun little side storyline. You know, having backstage chases, having R-Truth in disguise on SmackDown, I thought was brilliant. All this kind of stuff, it adds fun. It adds to the variety show element of WWE, where I think WWE has felt very flat and stale since WrestleMania. It's just kind of felt lifeless since the Superstar Shakeup, and this is injecting life, and it No, it's not the main event of the show. It's not meant to be. It's meant to be kind of a sideshow, and it's meant to be a lot of fun. And I personally am having fun with it, and the wrestlers involved seem to be having a blast with it on social media and on the shows, and I think that's great.
Finn and I recorded, and if you're listening to this in the main feed, the Powerslam podcast will be out later today, but Finn and I were talking about it, and he made a really good point. He was like, the last thing we need is more titles. And if you're in that mindset, I agree with you 100%. What I had said was there should be a way that they can do both, which is have titles that mean something and have this, where this cannot, this should, now don't get me wrong, this should always be the side belt that's fun shenanigan stuff.
This should always be a comedy title, because some people on Twitter were coming back at me and being like, well, this just makes it feel like a comedy title. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Like, this is what it is meant to be. Like, it's not meant to be the prestigious thing that you're going to have a big program over. Like, that's not the point of this belt. For me, like, I want a comedy title. Yeah, I know that there are way too many titles in WWE, but this isn't something that I would say, like, build a pay-per-view program around the 24/7 title. I would say have the 24/7 title be a runner through a pay-per-view where people are constantly, like, searching and chasing. And will the joke get old eventually, like trying to search for people? Yes, it will. So then, you know, do something different with it. You can evolve that story, but I don't know. It's giving me something different to cling to on the show, and it is the thing that I'm most excited about in WWE right now, just because it's fun.
Okay, so let's go to the Facebook question. We've got Duncan Boyd. What are you expecting to show more on how AEW will do? Pay-per-view numbers, or when their weekly show drops numbers? Also, good luck with all things you two are doing this weekend. Dustin, thank you, Duncan. I think the TV is probably going to be more indicative of what they're doing rather than the pay-per-view, but the pay-per-view numbers will matter. It's their first one. Jericho said this week on his podcast that, like, you don't really have a second chance to make a first impression, so it's really up to them to make sure they smash this. So I hope they do. Andy Barr asks, do you think that Drew McIntyre will get a title run at some stage between now and WrestleMania 36?
I don't know about between now and WrestleMania 36. I think he absolutely could.
Not the worst choice to beat Kofi Kingston.
Not the worst choice to beat Kofi Kingston. Isn't Drew on Raw, though?
Wild card, though.
Fucking wild card. I fucking hate the wild card rules so much.
He was on SmackDown this week.
I know he was on SmackDown this week, and that's the problem. Like,
they're shaking things up,
Sandra. Can they stop? I'm getting nausea from all of the shaking. I hate it so much. But, I mean, the thing with Drew McIntyre, like, I like Drew McIntyre as a performer. I think Drew McIntyre has been dull as dog shit on television lately, and I think a lot of that is down to the writing behind him. Like, it doesn't make any sense that I think he's been a victim of them trying to protect him to the point where he's just gotten a lot less interesting, right? Because he lost to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Fine, fair enough. We expected him to lose to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. But then the next night when he just, like, walked out of a tag team match, and then a couple weeks later when he just, like, walked out of a tag team match because they didn't want to get him beaten or they didn't want to have him on a losing team or whatever, him just walking out makes it seem like he doesn't care, right? And he's dynamic when he shows up, like, when he's on SmackDown and stuff, like, he is good, but he just kind of feels, like, not as interesting as he should right now. And I think him being in kind of a corporate stable with Shane at the moment is, like, I think that might be a start, much as it pains me to say that this whole, like, corporate stable shenanigans thing might work.
Well, there's more likelihood of the corporate scenario stable working out than there was with him and Corbin and Lashley.
Oh my gosh. And that's the problem, is it's like the obscurity of the mediocrity of the heel scene has just been so incredibly mind-numbing. Like, I mean, I don't want to see Bobby Lashley and Baron Corbin teaming against random people because I'm so bored by them. Like, they do not feel main event to me at all. And for some reason, WWE keeps putting Baron Corbin in main events, and it's just infuriating. So I think, you know, as a random stable, I think we've seen it work on Retro Raw really well, right? Where, you know, you have factions going up against one another who have, like, common goals and common enemies and all that kind of stuff. I think getting Drew McIntyre involved in those types of storylines is probably going to be better for him. And, I mean, if they do a story properly with him, then yeah, I could absolutely see him being champion. I just don't want it to be more of the same Drew McIntyre. I want something to change first.
Yeah, when stakes happen or something happened to you, you change. I mean, I can assure you, I'm sure he's probably not happy about these issues, but, like, look, he also is a guy who knows that, like, he's got the Becky Lynch philosophy that you can't you can't just throw your toys at the pram. You do what you're given and you try and make the best of it, and at points, I mean, there was points where we've said the same about Becky Lynch. Oh, she's so boring, you're not doing anything.
No, yeah, for sure.
So I think that he's got the right idea of, if you're in there and you want to succeed, the best way to succeed is to kind of just do the best with what you've got.
And I think he has been, like, I think as a performer, he's been doing well in the role that he's been given on television. Like, he never looks like he doesn't want to be there or, like, he's just phoning it in or anything like that. I think he's, you know, like, when he has to do these atrocious promos or these boring segments with Baron Corbin or whatever, like, he's showing up and he's doing the work. So that's good.
Okay, what else do we have here on the question bandwagon? Stephen Bradley, He wants to know about two questions, one about Brandy, one about Cody. What do you think about Brandy saying you're not a wrestling fan if you're not satisfied with Double or Nothing? So just to give it context, she did a video and she said, you know, looking at Double or Nothing, all that's on offer, you know, if you're not satisfied with this, then you're not a wrestling fan. What do you think of her saying that?
I mean, out of context, I think that's bullshit. Like, I don't think you can say that someone's a fan of something or not a fan of something because they're excited or not excited about a certain thing. That sounds more just like press hype to me.
I mean, I've seen the clip. And I would say it works in context. I don't think it works out of it. Like,
yeah.
When I was watching the video, I was just kind of like, yeah, like, look, if I ran a company and I was putting on this card, I'd be telling you the exact same thing.
Well, because that sounds like press hype, right? Like, if you're into wrestling, why wouldn't you be into this show that we're doing? Like, as well, a clip to say you're not a wrestling fan, I think is ridiculous. But
well, I think, and I'm not throwing Steven under the bus here, but I think that asking, like, what we think of that is kind of like, I think you're taking what she was saying as a press hype thing and turning it into like a more...
like a statement on the state of wrestling,
yeah,
as
like,
a whole.
You know, what she's trying to say is like, if you're a wrestling fan, this is for you. She's maybe not worded it the best, but I don't think she... But like, I'll give you an example. Some fucking queer, feminist, forward-thinking fucker on Twitter today, right? I want to set the person on fire. They'd be like, I have done a diagram on Leonardo DiCaprio and what type of women he's into. And do you know that he has not dated a woman under 25 in his life? So?
What?
If he wants to... So, like, from when he was 18 up to he's 44, right? So he's always... Like, when he was, like, 18 to 25, he was dating, like, between 19, 20, 21, 22. 25 to 35, he was kind of, like, 23, 24.
Right.
And now he's just been dating like 24, 25 year olds.
Uh-huh.
And she's constructed this fucking like, you know, that tells you all you need to know about men and how men behave. And then somebody's like, yeah, he's just going out with younger women because he knows that they're easier to manipulate. It's like, no, sometimes people like older people, people like younger people. He likes people in their mid-20s. He's not fucking kids. But she drew a diagram.
I mean, that just seems like a lot of effort.
Spread your legs and shove something in there. Get your hole. That's what you need to do. Oh, this judgment society of like...
I don't even know how we got on this topic, but now God. I'm just laughing about how angry you are.
But you know what I mean? Like, imagine going, I'm going to look at this actor, who, by the way, there has been no stories about of doing anything of anything bad, right?
No, like, she's basically just, like, judging his dating preferences.
She's judging his dating preferences and then trying to make a statement as if to say, that says to us
what about kind all
of man
men.
He, what kind of man he is and that he's predatory. And these are the reasons Trump wins. That's all I'm saying. Please, just understand that there are people in the fucking real world who actually have a brain who go, this is what we've come to? Making diagrams about an actor dating women in their mid-20s and basically calling him a pedo?
See, I think it's so funny because you see stuff like that and you get so angry about it. And I see stuff like that and I just think people need to not have so much time on their hands. But it doesn't bother me. Like, their lives are sad.
But the reason
not.
It bothers me is because we can see that.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are on the fence about stuff. And when they see stuff like that, it makes them maybe go the other direction.
I know.
Fucking diagram, bitch.
So don't make diagrams about other people's dating. How did we start on this?
Because Steven asked about Brandy Rhodes talking about being dissatisfied.
I genuinely don't even know how that has anything to do with Leonardo DiCaprio and his diagram.
Because when Steve was asking that and you were saying, oh, it's ridiculous that, you know, Hurston, that means that you're not a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Just reminded me of the idea of, like, because he dates women who are 25, that means he's predatory.
It's
ridiculous. It's like yeah, the comparison like, is like... You can't make those comparisons.
You can't make those comparisons. And I think to bring it back to Brandy Rhodes, like, I mean, the statement as worded sounds pretty gatekeepy and like, you know, you're not an actual fan. Like, I hate when people say, oh, you're not a real fan of this thing. Like, it's like someone calling me not a real Superman fan because I don't read the comics,
well,
right?
You only became a real wrestling fan, like, what, 2 years ago? Because you passed your 7-year test, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, I had to take a full exam. I had to be quizzed on, you know, who Duke the Dumpster Drosy was and all of these sorts of things. That's not actually true because I, you know, who gives a shit? Like, be a fan of what you want to be a fan of. But I think what they meant to do was hype the show with press and say, hey, if you're a fan of wrestling, then we have something for you and it's going to be awesome. And that's kind of all I would take from it. I don't like, I don't know, pigeonholing and like picking out statements and analyzing them to death, I guess, when they're part of a bigger picture.
I like to draw a diagram. Cody says...
You're so angry.
I just hate these people who are like, oh, we're so forward-thinking. No, you're drawing a diagram about someone and putting your own stance on it. It's just set her on human fire. The world doesn't need her. So Cody said last night at the StarCast panel, talking about the women in AEW, and specifically Kylie Rae, which is really difficult when I'm so used to saying Kaylee Ray to not say that. Kylie Rae. And he said, we did a shoot on Road to Double or Nothing, and someone was sent to interview Kylie, and man, what a ball of emotion, and that's what we wanted, someone passionate. And she's not like wacky inflatable tube men pretending to be nice. And Stephen's question was, what do you make of Cody calling Bailey fake during an interview about Kylie Rae? Would you like to take this one or why?
I mean, I think we can both take it. I think...
Oh, I know you can. See the diagram.
Oh, the things I want to say and can't. Yeah, I think obviously that was shade toward Bailey. Obviously it was. I mean, I can say that I've seen not a ton of Kylie Rae's work, but I've seen enough of Kylie Rae's work at this point in the past year to kind of get the feeling that she does come off as a very genuine person. She's very good in the ring, but even in interviews and behind the scenes stuff, like on Ethan Page's vlog and that kind of stuff, she comes across as just the nicest person ever. And it doesn't seem to be a gimmick with her. And I think that part of the statement is 100% valid for him to say, like, she's awesome. You know, like, she seems like an awesome human. And anyone I know that knows her has said the same. So I think it's great that he's praising Kylie Rae like that. I understand the comparisons between Kylie Rae and Bailey. There was I'm trying to remember which match I was watching. It might have been Kylie Rae versus Orange Cassidy. And it just kind of hit me, like, imagine if Kylie Rae had been given, you know, Bailey's gimmick and Bailey's treatment. Because I think Bailey as a performer, she's my fave, right? Like, we know this. I am a big Bailey fan. I am a big fan of the fact that she is champion. I think Bailey has been very awkward sometimes in her interviews and in her backstage stuff. And I think that her gimmick is kind of what's gotten her along. And I think that sometimes Bailey as a person might come across as a little bit standoffish or not great in interviews or not.
Well, I mean, I'll say what you're not saying.
Yeah.
So the reality is, I've heard stories about people in wrestling. And what tends to happen when you hear a few stories about people in wrestling, eventually someone throws a little bit of shade at them. So, you know, that's what's happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, sometimes what you see on TV is not what you see behind the scenes. Now, I'm able to separate that kind of stuff, as are you for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, look, he's firing shots, and I'm not going to lie, I'm like, I eat all of it up. I'm like, give me the shots fired back and forth. It's really good.
Well, and I will say, I mean, Bailey and Sasha are really good friends, right? And Sasha Banks is kind of known to be maybe a little bit more difficult, as in not on TV and went home. And,
we're not there, so we're trying to, like, piece together what different people say.
Yeah, because, like, I don't know them personally, so like, I don't want to be like, oh, I've heard
Ross
that they're terrible or anything.
Stephen Ross in our Facebook community had said that he knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows Sasha, who basically says that there's a lot more to her story that will come out that will make us
feel more. And I'm sure
there
is.
But, you know, basically Cody's thrown a bit of shade here, and, you know, why not?
I think it's shade throwing, and of course, and I think he's also using it just as an example of, like, building up Kylie Rae, because Kylie and Bailey definitely have similarities in their personality and that kind of stuff.
We're going to do quick fire, because we've only got about 5 minutes left here before we need to go. Alan Proven wants to know, who becomes unmasked, Dasher or Boomer Hatfield?
I don't know. We've been talking about this, and I don't know. So, I mean, the thing is, it could really go either way, and it really depends on what each of them wants in their career, right? Like, we've talked about how Dasher Hatfield has been other characters. I think this is canonically his third character, because he was Ultimo Breakfast, and he was creator wrestler. So, I mean, maybe it's time for Dasher Hatfield, after his long, illustrious career, to become someone else. Maybe it is time for him to be unmasked and not be the old-timey King of Swing that we know and love. I mean, we've known to grow and hate him, right? Because he's been so dastardly this season, and he's been such, you know, a terrible person. And, I mean, him, like, telling his son that he's a disappointment and all that kind of stuff, it's like, it's really, there's a lot going on there. But maybe Boomer Hatfield wants to spread his wings and fly and grow as a wrestler unmasked and not be tied to the Hatfield legacy. I really feel like it could go either way, and I'm super, super nervous about it because I'm not ready for either of them to lose their face.
For you, wants to know, which four wrestlers would you play poker with in Vegas? I don't know how to play it, it's the wrong question for me.
I don't know.
All right, Alan, it's one question, not three. Ollie wants to know, with Giant Gonzalez, will Giant Gonzalez face any repercussions for smothering The Undertaker with chloroform? He got onset diabetes and died. That was his repercussion.
That, yeah, that seems to be
I think it's a bit harsh, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
I think a good winter cold would have done the trick.
It just makes me worried for Fandango.
Jose Antonio Guido wants to know, are you going to catch Cher and Celine Dion shows? Cher is not here. If she was here, do you think I would not be there? Celine Dion, I could do 20 minutes of her, you know, a couple of tunes, but
I mean, I heard It's All Coming Back to Me in the airport, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but 2 hours, don't know. Maybe a bit much. Plus, she'd be like $200.
Yeah,
I like her just fine, but I don't like her that much. Israel Burrows wants to know, what's both your opinions on Firefly Funhouse so far, and who should Bray feud with first?
I love Firefly Funhouse. I thought this week's segment was brilliant, where it wasn't a full episode. It was more of a, like an extended intro with the, you know, everything kind of fading into then, you know, creepy kids with "Let Him In" written on their foreheads. It's gotten super, super fucking dark, and I am here for it. I don't know who he should feud with first, because I want to see this go on for a while longer, honestly. Like, I don't want to see him have a regular wrestling feud anytime soon. I want for this to have time to grow and breathe and change and develop and all of the good things. So I can't really pick a first feud for him, and I like the idea of him being more of a character in the background, recruiting a stable or something like that, instead of just being a dude who wrestles.
Last two questions are Cam. Oh, yeah, sorry. I love Firefly Funhouse. It's really good. I don't want him to feud with anyone, though. I want him to, like, be different and not feud with people. I want him to, like, be a character who doesn't wrestle. I think he's just much better. Like, Sting 97 didn't wrestle for a year, just did gimmick stuff. That's what I want to see Bray Wyatt do. Cameron Sykes wants to know, would you ever do a tour with Savio Vega? No. Patrick Nee finishes off.
Breaking my heart. I want to hear all about that strap match and his amazing spinning heel kick.
How did it feel, Savio, when they came up to you and said, do you want to be the eighth man in No Way Out of Texas? And you knew it would crush everyone's hearts. But you decided to do it anyway.
How did it feel, Savio, when you wrestled 4 times at King of the Ring 1995?
Oh, God, I can't
even. If you could see the look on Kenny's face right now.
The one time I wish they hadn't put a dark match on a VHS tape. Patrick Nee wants to know, last question, do you think WWE's product will change drastically in response to AEW, or will they stick to being the family show while AEW go for the young adult market? Do you think we see any change if AEW is doing well?
I mean, I think we'll see maybe changes, maybe they'll try harder, but they're going to be a family show. And I don't think the problem has ever been WWE being a family show. I know a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I don't think WWE being PG is the problem. I think WWE being pish at storytelling is the problem, because you can tell interesting stories and be PG and be amazing. Like, I just got really excited about two baseball men. One of them might be losing his, or one of them will be losing his face on Sunday in Chicago. And Chikara is not just PG, like Chikara is G-rated and brings out all this emotion. It's just about telling good stories and using what you have at your disposal. I don't think WWE is going to go more hardcore. I don't think they're going to go more violent. I don't think they're going to go sexier. Like, we've seen what happens when they try to go sexier. We get Naomi versus Mandy Rose.
I mean, I like that, so I can't really
go. I know, but like, they can't go any further than that, right? Well, fine.
What they tend to do, though, is whenever there's, like, stuff, whenever they tend to leave, like, the juicier stuff for, like, Brock Lesnar and all these people, whereas the juicier stuff that they do should really be used with the main roster.
Yeah.
Of guys and girls, so.
No, and it's about actually utilizing your roster to their strengths, which is something that I think the 24/7 belt, weirdly enough, is doing, because it's letting people be creative and have the freedom to kind of breathe and grow, which is why I love that belt so much, because it's giving performers a lot more creative freedom.
For sure. So that is pretty much it for us. We're going to go off and try and get some interviews today. youtube.com/InsideTheRopes. You'll see if we can get anything this weekend. Sandra, what are the plugs?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_TheRopes. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for all the bonus content we mentioned before. youtube.com/InsideTheRopes for all of the content that we're going to be putting up this weekend. InsideTheRopes.co.uk for tickets to live events. If any of those are going on right now, which I don't even know. And I think those are all of the plugs, and I'm excited for StarCast stuff today.
That's all the plugs, so we hope that you guys enjoy your weekend, and I hope you're checking out AEW. We're going to be doing a review of Double or Nothing right after the show here in the hotel, so that'll be on Patreon by Sunday morning. So check it out.
We might be a little drunk at the time. It could be interesting.
Probably, but we'll be here. Yep. Keith Elliott Greenberg might be here. He might even be in on it. You never know. So yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
I'll always light the way. And all you have to do is let me in.
I'll see you next week.
We're really glad that you're our friend. And this is a
a friendship that'll never end.